The content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in, this is Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth, where spirits meet skeptics and consciousness connects. Together, we expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Now, here's your hosts, AJ and April Mata.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. The number, if you'd like to call in, is 321-473-4253. All you Skype users out there can type it in as one word, Spiritually Raw. And you can also go to the site right now and chat live with us on spirituallyraw.com. So happy Wednesday, everybody. You know what that means? It's Meet the Mob Day. Hey, our mob lineup today, this is going to be a cool one. We have Judge Eve Ellingwood, author of Diary of Sabra, Faith in Action. And also, too, we haven't heard this guy for a while, but way back from the beginning, Venger Satanis, the founder of the Cult of Cthulhu. So they're going to be helping us out and being our mob today with our guests. So thank you both for that. Got a couple of cool topics on there today, but hey, you know what? I was thinking, because I just want to bring this up before we start, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we got some, like, things going on in the hospital and stuff like that. And have you ever really seriously... I'm trying to get you started because that's the whole thing of the show. I'm, like, trying to egg you on here. But the whole thing about it is, do you ever get, like, you know how people always talk about, like, you know, the medical practitioners in today's world and things like that? You know, I think that, you know, can you share with the class, young lady, your experience about what your feelings were on that as of your experience yesterday? Without naming any names.
I'm really, absolutely, totally fed up with the medical industry, period.
Yeah, well, like, tell...
Something seriously needs to happen. I mean, it needs to... It's so unregulated. Doctors have no... And I'm not talking about all the doctors, so, you know, don't send me all your hate mail, but I'm going to say a heck of a lot of doctors have absolutely no issues whatsoever writing any prescription under the sun for the most ridiculous ailments. And so many people are severely over-medicated right now. And something seriously needs to be done.
Well, it sounds like a personal thing. So
in terms of what?
Well, elaborate, because you're taking it personally.
Oh, well,
is there something going on in your immediate surrounding? What's going on?
Actually, there is, Jesse.
Thank you.
It's funny, Jesse doesn't know because I haven't talked about it. But no, you know what it is, Jess? Let me tell you.
What?
They have, because you know my father.
Yes.
They have that man on so much medication, it's absolutely obscene. And, you know, obviously he just took a stroke the other day and he's coming out of the hospital. I have to go pick him up from here. Not to mention my mother just got out of the hospital last week because she had an aneurysm. So the whole thing's been... But anyway, they have my father on so much. He takes a cocktail of like 6 to 7 medications every single solitary day, and bitches, he's been bitching forever about all these aches, pains, ailments, you name it, under the sun. So the other day, you know, when this whole stroke thing happened, because that was the icing on the cake, I started researching every one of his medicines. And don't you know, every ailment that this man has been complaining about for years are the side effects, the exact ailments that he's been complaining about are the side effects from all the drugs. And the kicker of it is, you know what? Every drug that he's on can certainly, there's no question that could be reduced by diet, exercise, and exercise.
Right.
Because here's the whole thing. People, especially in my parents' age bracket, are so freaking brainwashed to believe whatever the freaking doctor tells you. Whatever the doctor tells you is the damn
it's
gospel.
It's so sad.
They take it as the gospel and they don't question it.
Right.
So when this whole thing happened the other day, I totally lost it. I mean, not lost it like I was crying. I mean, I lost it like I was absolutely furious. Because something needs to be done. Not only do they affect your physical well-being, all this medication, How can you expect to be on all this chemical? You're putting all this poison, literally poison in your body, and expect to be clear in the mind. Right. It is utterly, utterly
impossible. It does have to be regulated, because I know when my dad had a heart attack, and he went into the, and I'm not kidding you, man, for like a solid year, he was going into the ER room with everything. And I'm like, you know, and I'm
every ailment, every this, yeah, every that.
Finally, I was like, I went with him, and I was just like, man, I said, you know, let's talk to your doctor. I said, because something is not right while you're in the ER room every single day. And I said, let me talk to him with you. And then from that point in time, let's discuss it with a lawyer to find out why your doctor is doing something that encourages you to be on the ER room every day. All of a sudden, he stretches his arms. He's like, oh, I think I feel better now. You know what I mean? And because it's all psychological.
It's totally psychological. So
I mean, I wouldn't say all of it. I would say, man, 90% of it's psychological.
It's way more than that.
You know, there's got to be a blend.
I confronted the doctor last night.
Good.
I only wish, you know, I lost my
cell. Not mention his name.
You know, how I happened to, I lost my iPhone yesterday of all days. I still haven't found it. I lost it somehow over the past couple of days. I only wish I had my iPhone, because if I had that conversation that I had with the doctor last night on tape, have no idea. Yes, and
like
it was bad.
Litigation and everything.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yes. That you know what his exact words were to me on top of all the other stuff that he said? You know, and this is exactly how he said it. He goes, "Do you know the number one thing, the number one way to piss a doctor off?" And this is in front of my father lying in the hospital bed. And I just looked at him. And he said, "Question the doctor about the patient's medication."
Ah. Of course.
You have no idea. You want to talk about
putting fire under my ass? We should have had a camera on that one, man. That would have been great. That would have been great to have a camera on that one.
That lit the fire under my ass.
Hey, you know what?
In such a way, you have absolutely no idea.
Why don't we do this again? See if we can recreate that moment and get a camera behind
it. I don't think they're going to let me back in the hospital. I have to pick my dad up today.
Yeah. Are you kicked out?
If you weren't physically escorted, and
I think they'll let you in.
It came very close.
Put a baseball cap
on. Very close.
Just put a baseball
cap. And he said he was going
to.
He threatened to call security, and I said, "You call security, I will call an attorney."
This is awesome.
And that's
stuff,
how the conversation.
See, this is
good for you.
We need a camera.
Oh, you have no idea,
baby. Let's give you a round of applause for sticking up there. Right on.
I was so disgusted. He said, "How dare you question me? You're not as smart as me. You're not a medical doctor."
This is some cool stuff.
It was absolutely unbelievable.
I wish I was there.
Unbelievable.
I really do wish I was there.
I'm pissed that you weren't there.
Why? What the hell was I going to do?
Tape it on your iPhone, Dan.
That's perfect.
What if I need care? I don't want them to, you know, give me wrong medicine, man, just because they're pissed at you. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, everybody. We are going to get started in the show. Before we get there, I do want to... This is so, so, so important. I need you all to really listen to this. It is Thanksgiving time, and we need your help with our feeding initiative to get those mouths fed that don't have anybody to eat with, that don't have food, that do not have the resources or the places to break bread with anybody, and really we need your help assisting us with that. So if you would go to spirituallyrawfoundation.org, make whatever donation you desire, whatever you're feeling like you vibe with, help us get that out and help get these people fed. It is the holidays, you know, and you know they just need it, so you can help with that.
Amen.
So we greatly appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah, everybody needs
some food, man.
At least a drumstick.
You know what I'm saying?
What about stuffing, Jess?
But listen, for one day,
a little cranberry sauce.
Seriously, you know, Thanksgiving really is my favorite holiday.
Really?
Yeah, it totally is. Because for one day,
I always liked it too.
Did you? I like it better than anything. For one day, just one day out of people's lives, you can set aside your world and just be like, you know, forget about life for a while, just for one day.
Well, that's Christmas too.
No,
but
Christmas you don't forget
Christmas.
About life for a while.
Well, no, because, not everybody celebrates Christmas either.
Well, you don't
Christmas
forget
either.
About Christmas for a while, because then you got the bills afterwards, so it keeps reminding you.
Yeah, that's true.
You
good
know
point.
What I mean?
Yeah, no, that's really
seriously,
true.
Seriously, and then you got returns after that.
It's the gift
that
keeps giving.
But Thanksgiving is really, it's really a beautiful place where people can break bread.
Yeah. Well, and no matter what culture you are, you know, whether, you know, you celebrate with a ham or a deep fried turkey, which is, or you've heard of these Chiturkins or what?
Chiturkins? Is that a chicken, a duck, and a turkey?
Right.
That's got. Is that nasty?
It sounds nasty.
Turducken.
Turducken. I saw. You know the southern. Oh, why can't I think of her name? You know the southern.
Paula Deen.
Yeah, she made one once. I almost vomited.
Really?
It looks so vile. It even sounds disgusting.
It's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, it's a turkey and a duck mixed, blended together.
Yeah, it's pretty
like mushed together.
It's definitely pretty heavy duty. But you know what? Hey, again, listen, everybody, do check that out, please. We really need your support on this and help get these people taken care of for their holiday season. You'll be doing some really good stuff. And anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to get right into our show and start conversations with our mob and our guests. Hang tight.
Fulfillment of ancient prophetic texts. What about the weird weather anomalies?
Hundreds of cars were entombed in snow.
The magnetic pole has shifted.
Magnetic north is moving.
There are those who say that something has happened to the moon. The moon looks funny. The moon looks out of place. The moon has shifted. The moon doesn't look the way it's always looked to me. Why is it that an earthquake occurs almost on a weekly basis? What about the tens of thousands of birds falling from the sky? Are we looking at extraterrestrial disclosure? Again, is it business as usual? Is this normal?
Pick up your copy of Watchers 2, Signs in the Heavens and Earth, by going to www.lamarzulli.net. This may be the most important video you'll ever see.
CIA, MIA, South Central, LA,
Read the Playground,
yeah, a novel by Carmichael Wolf, try to crack that gangsta code,
crack and speed, or WMD, crack and speed, or WMD,
yeah. Sophia had no choice. Her son David, only 5, had to leave Inglewood and move east side. Now they're in the hood, just trying to survive. Live a day as a bloom and try not to die. That was taken too soon, and now David can't play in the playground.
No more happy
in
seesaw.
The playground.
We're breaking the law.
Sandbox is full of rocks.
Yo, it's Damu and his crew. Oh, we better act straight. It's 1981 and you are already late.
Yeah.
Now, old man Gray in the center to new. That East LA will spit you out too.
The CIA is assassinating a black community using sophisticated robotics and crack cocaine as bio warfare.
Crack, crack, crack cocaine on every block.
CIA delivers rock around the clock.
Visit Carmichael Wolf, the eclectic novice.com or Amazon.com.
What really happened before Adam and Eve? Who are the pre-Adamites? Learn about a kingdom that speaks to you from beyond time. Go on the adventure of your life. An epic journey you will not forget. The Kingdom of Saguenay. Order the Kingdom of Saguenay today. Go to www.thekingdomofsaguenay.net or spirituallyraw.com. Sick and tired of reacting to life but don't know what to do? Reclaim the magic in your life today. Dr. Alice Chan will guide and inspire you to control your destiny and live life with all the joy, passion, and fulfillment that belongs to you. Reach your dreams and become a conscious creator in your life. Go to DrAliceChan.com. That's DrAliceChan.com.
With Spiritually Raw. Call in today at 321-473-4253. Join us at spirituallyraw.com. And now, more ass-whipping truth.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Right on, right back after. And y'all are missing the cool drama behind the scenes on this one. There's some good stuff going on. Yes, we do, darling. Yes, we do. All right, let's talk about who's up here. We got a raw factor up, right?
Today we have a great show. Creation or Evolution? Michael Jess. Help me out with the last name. I forgot to ask you about the Ibafea?
Well, maybe we'll allow him to
elaborate.
I don't want to mispronounce it.
Because you didn't ask him either. Okay, very good. He'll elaborate on his last name, and I do apologize. Were humans created or did they evolve? This debate continues to rage between science and religion. Creation or evolution examines these two worldviews within the framework of science, comparing the contemporary world to the hypothetical world.
All right, let's welcome Michael to the show. And Michael, can you give us really how to say your last name?
The last name is Abifaha.
Abifaha?
Yes.
Okay, not a problem. Okay. Michael Abifaha, right? Did I say that right?
That's correct.
Okay,
good.
Right on. Okay, man, that's good. You know, I try to work with it. What's so funny? That's how he said it.
No, you were making a funny Abifaha.
That's exactly how he said it, and I said it exactly how he said it, because I asked him if I said it right, and he said it was just fine. Right, Michael?
That's right.
There you go. Right. So April is the one with the serious internal issues, as you can all tell today. All right, man. So tell me, was the universe life created, or what happened, man? Was life created, or did it evolve?
Life was created.
Yeah? How was life created?
Well, that's what scientists are still looking for, but the creator has claimed credit for creating life. He did not tell us how he did it, but we are trying to study on how we did it, but we've not gone that far yet.
Okay, how did you come up with this? So where's your credentials? What's your background that leads you to say this is exactly how it is?
Well, I'm a graduate from Carleton University, also from the University of Toronto. And I've also studied religion under the Catholic School Board. And I've read broadly about history of the world.
All right. What
the history of the world. Are you a scientist?
Yes, I am.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So I want to make sure I'm clear here, okay, because I want to put this in perspective, because we're starting out with all these different scenarios here. Do you believe that an almighty creator created us?
Yes.
You do. And would you refer to this creator as quote-unquote a god or a goddess of some sort?
God.
You believe in a god. Okay, gotcha. So this god created us, and he's been the one, or is it a he or she in your mind?
The Bible limits the word to he, but the word is it could be both he or she, but it's just the limitation we have with English word. The Almighty would be a better word, but reference-wise, it's he that is used frequently, but it's also open for God to be described as she.
Hey, Michael, I don't know if you're how you're talking. Is there any way I can get you to speak a little clearer in the phone? You sound muffled.
Okay.
Take that cough drop, man. Okay, let's try this. Okay, so all right, so you believe that, you know, this...
What was the question?
Does he believe that there is an actual God that created us, or was it some sort of Big Bang Theory? What's this Earth age that you refer to?
No, what is the Earth?
What is the Earth's age?
Yeah, like, how old is Earth?
Well, no one knows how old the Earth is, but we can only make a guess and say the Earth is more than a certain number of years old.
Do you
believe? And that number varies from 7 to... That is the... I mean, it's older than that. That's what I mean.
Older than what?
It's 7 to... It's older than that, is what I mean.
Nobody knows. But we all are educated guests. But at least we know of a minimum, and that minimum is the one I'm talking about, a minimum of 7 to 10,000.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you saying 7 to 10,000 years? Or do you mean billion, 7 to 10 billion years?
Bunches of years.
7 to 10,000 years as the lower limit based on revelation.
Hey,
do you have any idea what he just said?
I have not a clue. Man, I'm having such a hard time. Okay, let me see if we can get this one. Do you believe that we're still evolving?
Well, that is not the appropriate word. We did not evolve. Well, there are variations, different sizes, different noses, different things. Apart from that, if that is what you call evolving, well, people change at any time, within different times, so... I would say we change. But this evolution is the one that is appropriate, but not evolution like changing from bacteria to human being or that kind of evolving. That's not the kind I mean. The kind that we have different breeds of dogs, different breeds of cats.
Hey, why should we buy your book? Tell us why what we're going to get out of your book that we won't get from any other bookstore anywhere in the world. What about Michael's book?
Yes.
Drive it home, man. Drive it home.
Yes. Okay. Well, most of the books you meet about evolution, creation, whatever, written by Christians or written by scientists, always base the argument on Genesis. Well, in Genesis, the interpretations are different depending on who interprets it, whether it's a Christian or a scientist. Everyone uses it in the way they like. But for my book, I've not dealt with those areas.
I wish I could even just understand one word that he was saying. Did you get a sentence out of Jay?
Actually, little bits
of like, what word have you gotten so far?
And told us how long it took him
Abby
to create
Valla's name. All right, right on. Hey, listen, Michael, I want Michael, are you ready to meet our mob?
Yes.
Okay, right on. Let me go over. Yeah, right on, everybody. Maybe they can help us here. And, you know, I want to go to our longtime friend, special guest over here. Venger, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Yeah, right on. Okay.
Maybe he can decipher it.
Can you, man?
Did Venger? You get any of that,
Did you get any of this?
I understood about 5 words that guy said.
What 5 words did you get? Maybe we could snap it together.
Like evolution, my book. His name was Michael. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, me too. All right. Maybe Judge Eve got something out of it.
Judge, did you get it?
She is a judge. She deciphers things.
Hi. First, I'm sorry about your dad, April,
and I'll
email you some things.
Thanks, babe.
I too had a difficult time understanding what Michael said, but the one thing he did say, which touches my heart, is that he believes in God and that he believes in the Bible. I don't know how he answered the he, she, it of God, but God is a he in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is referred to in the feminine. So that, in part, answers your question. And I didn't get, or you didn't say, what kind of a scientist is he? May I ask him that question?
Please. Go at it. See if you can get it.
See if you get it.
Michael, and please try to speak closer to the speaker so I can hear you. What kind of a scientist are you? I don't mean good or bad, but what area?
Okay, I specialize in physics.
In physics?
Okay. All right. Physics,
yes. In Nigeria, but here my degree is in physics.
Because I'd heard years ago a scientist, also physicist, who talked about the book of Job and how the singing stars, in effect, reflected something in physics. Does that mean anything to you?
I think it does.
Not quite.
Okay.
Michael, just seriously.
That's good, though, Judge.
Yeah, Judge, thank you. You got a lot closer. Yeah. Let's see, Benger got... We got his name. Venger got five words. Judge actually got a question.
She got a couple sentences.
Michael, come on, man. Seriously, because this is it. I really want to help you get your message out. Can you get that sock off the phone or something? I mean, really, there's got to be something there. Can you just... I need to get... We're having such a hard time understanding you.
That's not a great connection.
And I don't think it's a connection. You know? Can you help me? Please, what exactly is the message here?
The message is there is a creator who has claimed credit for creating the world, and because the Bible is not written as a scientific textbook, I have tried in other books to write the claim in a formal form that anybody with a patent will be claiming credit for an invention.
Did that help you, Jay?
Oh, boy.
I take that as a no.
Well, I really believe, because he's got some. I feel like he's got something really valuable to say. I really do, and I just don't know if it's just me, man.
No, it's not.
I'm
you.
Just having a hard time.
How about you, Jess? Have you got any?
And I really want to ask the questions too.
And I want to ask you because he's got some. He's got
but
some good stuff there.
But we're running out of time, and we gave him 15 minutes.
Well, hold
Jay.
On a second, Venger. Anything else getting closer to you on what his theories are, and any comments on him?
I assume he's not a native English speaker, you know, so it's probably a heavy accent that we're trying to decipher. Maybe in addition to that, a connection too. Although, you know, ideas and theories and books like that are probably a dime a dozen. So, I mean, he might have something great to say, but I would be hard-pressed to believe that it's unique in any way. I mean, people that believe in creation and creationism only in the Bible, I mean, you hear that all the time.
He does have a point,
like,
Jay.
Half the people in America, probably. So I don't see why his ideas are especially validated or unique or more important or believable than anyone else's ideas that are similar.
All right, right on, everybody. Right. That is Michael Ebifeha.
I'm emphasizing the creation that comes under the provision of a commandment. Because we know that we are going to argue, a creator God would ordinarily claim creation. If I was the creator, I would do that. And it's only a true God that can claim creation. And that is what God did in Exodus. And therefore, my message is that Genesis has to be supported by the account in Exodus. And so a lot of discussion is on that. And as a commandment, that is truth.
Something about Genesis and Exodus.
Michael Ebifeha, everybody. Yeah. If you want to hear more of him, you know, maybe we could try to get you back in a clearer connection at some point. If you all want to vote for him, go to the Raw Factor tab and vote. We'll give the results out this Friday. Okay, Michael, listen, all the best to you, and thank you for being on the airwaves with us. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our featured guest, everybody.
Bummer. If an angel popped into your life and asked you to help save him and all the other angels in the city from the illustrious Lucifer.
Join the courageous Sam Wilson as he saves the angels and the city from their demonic demise. Read and learn how mankind rocks.
Mythological Sam, The Call by Kathleen Pickering. Available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com. Love, hate, deceit, loyalty. Travel back in time to the first earth where future began, where good first confronted evil.
Join Acellus, the first angelic being created by God, as he chronicles the untold story of the Jack of Diamonds and the Lady Justice.
A love that burns throughout the ages.
The Legend of Justice and Diamonds, a spiritual fantasy by Lewis F. Hemsey.
Available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. We'll be right back.
God. Carl Bozeman wrote a book on being God. Buy it now at Amazon.com. God.
Purchase your copy of On Being God at spiritual-intuitions.com.
Attention, this is a planetary alert. All citizens whose last names begin with the letter A, report to your local implant center. All citizens whose last names begin with the letter A, report to your local implant center. Failure to comply will result in having your utilities shut off and a warrant issued for your arrest for terroristic resistance. Welcome to the new age of Lucifer and have a blessed day.
The coming of Antichrist is near. Who will force a Luciferic order upon the world and lead a second Holocaust? Learn how to escape 666 and the horror to come at www.satansrapture.com. Warning, this site is banned by Christianity and its churches.
With Spiritually Raw. Call in today at 321-473-4253. Join us at spirituallyraw.com. And now, more ass.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Right on. All right, let's talk about our future guest.
Love and Terror in the Middle East, Dr. Frank Romano. His book dramatically captures the author's effort to promote understanding, communication, and cooperation in the regions of between the Jews, Muslims, Christians, and non-believers. It details Dr. Romano's, hold on folks, strenuous journeys between Israel and the West Bank, discussing issues and organizing activities among religious and national groups. He's been harassed and arrested by the Palestinian police, harassed by Israeli soldiers, and attacked by West Bank settlers. Love and Terror in the Middle East is a memoir of a man working in the field face-to-face with people from all kinds of factions, including extremists on both sides.
All right, Dr. Romano, welcome back to the show. How are you? Oh, we got you there?
You got me.
All right. Oh, wow, man. Is it connection day? Can I hear you? Can you do that again for me?
Yes, I'm back.
There you are. There you are. All right. Okay. All right. So listen.
Clarity.
Yeah. There you go. So nothing like clarity. I know. What motivates you to travel to the West Bank and lead this interfaith peace march with the Jews, Muslims, and Christians?
Thank you, Jesse and April and Judge Michael and Benger. I'm going to draw a parallel. Answer your question. I'm going to draw a parallel with what April started out with respect to doctors. I'm going to bridge that out to what I do.
Excellent.
I think there's a worldwide ill going here, a worldwide downer. And I think it is professional, and I'm a lawyer, both in the U.S. and France, as well as a professor, and I can also bring in other professionals as well as lawyers on a kind of a damage control fear thing. And to break that downer, and it sounds like a cliche, we need injecting a strong dose of love, compassion, and understanding. And so we get to the book. Why I did this and why I go to the Middle East, in particular Israel and the West Bank, to build relationships, to break this downer, because I think it's also clearly evident there because it is an epicenter and manifests a lot of the ills of the world today in this small area. And so I build relationships, Jesse and April and the mob, first based on love. Relationships that have some, intimate relationships with the people, the Israelis and Palestinians, to try to work together with Muslims, Jews, and Christians and other religions so that they can understand each other and then build on these relationships to make projects to overcome that downer, that worldwide fear thing where people seem like the doctors are considering damage control and fear, protecting themselves by over-medicating, just like lawyers do.
Yeah, that's so true.
They're just protecting their interests.
Damage control is a perfect description.
Do you think
they're not thinking of the people and what I'm getting to here, Jessalyn, in particular, April, is I think we should focus on doing what's right, and even if it means taking risks. So I have to take some risks, and you've already, given a few examples of some of the challenges of going into the area. But it's really strange that this, focusing on love and our sublime cosmic connection is emphasized when we talk about the terror part.
Do you think that this can be changed, though? Do you think this fundamental approach can somehow be countered or changed? I mean,
we can with, we talk about networking in a kind of a national sense, but on a global sense, by connecting people together, individuals, I really believe that the key to change is through us. April, Jesse, Judge, Mike, Venture, all of us together, working together and making this new world ourselves, but not in an idealistic way. We have to make projects together and let the politicians and the religious leaders follow us. The reverse is a problem today because I believe politicians and religious leaders, as well as other professionals, are in that damage control syndrome. Take the initiatives.
Isn't this part of this going to only work if these people can take a step back outside of themselves and really, really? I mean, are you in some essence asking them to reinterpret their faith? Because doesn't that have to happen to some capacity?
Well, that's a really good point, Jesse. And I take it even a step further, not just to reinterpret. I think we need to take another look.
Dr. Romano.
Yes, sir.
I just want to let you know you're speaking to Jay. But
there's a Jay and a
Jesse
here.
But there is a Jay and a Jesse here.
Oh, sorry, Jay.
That's all right. Okay. No worries.
There's both a Jay and a Jesse. Well, we've got it.
Yeah, I can see how you can get that confused.
Two-fisted host. Jay, yeah. Jesse. Double J's. Okay. Jay. And so I believe we can overcome this. We need to eventually start looking at our texts with our scientists, such as Michael, to take a look at the text, the Bible, the Quran, New Old Testament, and other texts. And to focus on that. But what I do is simply, we don't even get into ideology when I do the dialogues. What I do there, specifically for everyone and listeners to understand, I simply organize dialogues and marches, and we march together on the street. It's all street stuff. In the streets of Israel, in the streets of the West Bank, to bring people together to talk first, and then when we get over some of the ideological barriers, not to ask people to, reject what their religious leaders have been telling them, but to understand that a lot of times religious leaders have an agenda and they manipulate the individuals for their own political or money or greed or power needs. To temper that, Jay and April and Jesse and Judge and so forth, it's important that we talk together to find out what they believe in, and then we realize we believe in a lot of the same things. That's the dialogue.
Check this out, Dr. Romano, and I get what you're saying, and really, really sounds pretty strong, and really loving from a loving place of what you're trying to accomplish here. I guess the fact still remains here. Okay, you've got these very three prominent world religions: the Jewish religion, the Islam, and the Christian faith. They're very devout in their belief system, especially from what we understand in that area of the world. Now, do you feel like something else needs to be done versus them? Because, for example, I mean, aren't they going to have to go back through and reinterpret all these thousands and thousands and years? And in some essence, if there is this element of, and I'm going to throw this other one out at you, if there is this element of, let's say, reincarnation, isn't this part of their destiny to have to experience what they're doing right now so maybe the rest of us can learn from it?
Absolutely, Jay. I think by re-looking at the text in our world, and understanding that a lot of these, religious doctrines were drafted, there's the problem with people saying, well, it's the word of God. Well, anytime you put pen to paper, there's a certain amount of interpretation. We have to go back behind the interpretation. But my focus is not just to invoke concepts as what does reincarnation mean to us, but literally focus again on what's similar among Judaism, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. What are the similar factors other than the concept of Buddhism? For the most part, most of these religions believe in one God, helping the poor, and not killing, and focus on these common denominators and start from there. That's the starting point. And then we do go in the text and we compare them and we try to evolve our thinking into today's thinking. And we can. And the problem is the extremists, the real orthodox, Jews, Muslims, and Christians don't want to reinterpret the Bible. They say the Bible is strict construction. That's the word of God, and we have to get beyond that. How do we do it, Jay, Jesse, April, and Judge, and Michael, and Venger? We've got to come together and look at all the sources we have and realize that this is all subject to interpretation. Let's focus on what's similar, the brotherly love and so forth, but then let's do jobs. Let's do, sweating together is when we really bond, not just talking. So we rebuild things that were destroyed in Israel and the West Bank. We replant olive trees that were uprooted due to the walls and the conflict there. And while we're sweating, we're experiencing things together. We're feeling brotherly, sisterly love, even without words. It's done from the grassroots level. That's what I suggest. It's this connection. And, of course, we're going to have to bring in, as you suggest, Jay, eventually we talk about ideology, and I can give you an example of how that goes as well. But then there's also the terror aspect, because my book is called Love and Terror in the Middle East, that we haven't addressed yet, which is something we have to, and I can't do that. Did you have another question?
Yeah,
in the meantime?
Dr. Romano, I have a question. What's your thoughts on a universal religion? Do you think that that would be a positive or a negative?
Well, excellent question, because that gets me to the origin of my vision, which happened 30 years ago. I took off to Morocco. On my way to the Middle East, I had this idea that I was going to be involved in interfaith and finding a universal religion, thinking that that was the key to peace. And I got as far as Casablanca. I entered into a mosque. It turned out I picked the wrong mosque to learn Islam in. It turned out to be an extremist group, and I had to escape and return to Paris. I had to return to Paris after that. That was all chronicled in the former book called A Storm Over Morocco. But to answer your question, April, I've changed since then. I believe that the universal, looking for a universal faith and religion, is more of a negative thing. It's not It's not going to bring peace to the world. And so how I've evolved is going into the epicenter. What helped me do it is through what the people have been saying and trying to listen to what everyone has been saying, to respect everyone's religion, no matter what it is, even the Orthodox creeds and so forth, and bring them in to finding out, again, what's common among them.
All right.
So not looking for a universal faith. I think that's not the key to the durable faith, the peace that we're looking for, in particular in the Middle East and the rest of the world.
Okay, hang tight, everybody. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to go to our mob on this one. Hang tight.
As you read his extraordinary and profound channel messages in Time for Truth. Going back 2,000 years, learn when and how the 4th century church distorted the original messages of Jesus and Paul. How messages of love were tainted to create fear, words of compassion manipulated to instill feelings of guilt, parables meant to unify, only misused, causing division. You will be provided absolute proof that reincarnation is a reality. Set aside your conscious mind and communicate with your soul mind. Purchase your copy of Time for Truth today. Go to Amazon.com or nickbunick.org.
Seconds saves lives. Save a life. You alerted? YouAlerted.com.
to know the truth about the universe, we must look to the governing laws already proven, the laws that have been tested, that are scientifically researched and cannot be altered by mysticism alone. Avoid beating around the proverbial burning bush. Leave behind those half-truths in which humans make up as they go along. Rediscover the correct origins of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Forget those outrageous stories binding you in fear. Break free from intimidation, brainwashing, and mind control. Learn the facts. Purchase United Nations state-sponsored genocide with the opening of the Seven Seals today. Go to spirituallyraw.com and click the corresponding banner.
Of Oklahoma. Explore the paranormal history of Oklahoma through ghost stories and legends and through the eyes of a renowned paranormal team. Have drinks with outlaw ghosts in an old saloon and tip your hat to the lady spirits upstairs in the bordello. Follow the Civil War outlaws, John Wilkes Booth, Wild West shows, and historic Route 66. Haunted Oklahoma awaits you. Get your copy of Ghosts and Legends of Oklahoma today by visiting MikeRicksecker.com or SpirituallyRaw.com.
With Spiritually Raw. Call in today at 321-473-4253. Join us at spirituallyraw.com. And now more ass.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Dr. Romano, love and terror in the Middle East. Okay, so yeah, I want to go to Venger on this one. Venger, you know, looking at what Dr. Romano's trying to do here, which is really help bridge that gap between these three different faiths, do you, based on what you know, do you see this as something that really is going to make an impact, that can be made an impact, or do we completely need to change our way of thinking in other ways?
Well, theoretically, yeah, it'd be nice if people reinterpreted or tried to understand in a new way what they were doing in their own belief system and how they related to other people in the world and all came together and, you know, changed the world. I just don't know how realistic that is. I like to focus on my own individual efforts and realized a little while ago, sort of a spiritual awakening, that I put myself and the people that are very close to me first and just kind of say to hell with everyone else.
All right, so now that's an interesting perspective there. So, you know, Dr. Romano, looking at from what Venger's saying, so he's saying, listen, I put me and my loved ones first and the people very close to me first and then to hell with everybody else and live my life the way I want to. Now, in some capacity, isn't that a healthier way of doing things? In it that you see a lot of this turmoil going on right now.
Well, you know, I appreciate Venger's honesty, and I must admit that through all this flowery language that you hear about universal love and peace, let's work together, brothers and sisters, I think underlying you know, that flowery language is many people believe in what Venger said, and Venger's just being honest about it. And I'm saying it starts there, though. I'm saying I agree. You've got to start with your family and your loved ones, and but that's not the end. That's the beginning. And if that love, that profound love feeling you have for your loved ones, you know, your family, your mother, father, and your kids, and your friends, and your relationships, if we can somehow bottle some of that passion, that understanding and love, and you know, the love leads to patient understanding, and just bottle some of it and spread it out globally. That's all I'm asking. I think we can do it. But, you know, Venger, in a way, and this is sort of the love part of the book again, is I've lost some intimate relationships because of my travels, and maybe because I haven't focused enough on my own close family relationship. When I should be there, I couldn't be there because I was traveling. So there's that. There's a payback there. There's a cost, and so there's got to be a happy medium. But I think we can do it. We can branch out. It's not the end, but it's the beginning.
Dr. Ronald, let me ask you this: Do you in some capacity though find it a little bit odd, maybe a little bit strange, that you have such an enormous amount of the world that actually lives and dies, looks up, looks around in every possible way into something that, you know, realistically, other than what they've read, other than what they've been taught from their parents and their parents, if not, that they really, really don't know? Because they really, really don't know. But they want to really believe that they know, and they hang on to that faith. And I guess what I'm saying to you is, don't you feel a little bit strange versus doing that? Maybe having people take a little bit more of a perspective of intertwining what Venger's saying. And let's say, for example, they say, okay, well, the Bible is my book, and I want to, and that's, and you know, that's all good and everything. But really take on, you know, maybe the philosophy that Venger has. Well, look, this is good to learn from. You know, maybe it will, maybe it won't, and I'll kind of get some stuff out of it. Maybe I won't, but in the same essence, I got to live like this. Don't you think that hybrid approach might make these types of things more successful as far as really interfacing?
I strongly believe that, Jay, and Venger and the other the members of the mob, that it is strange to come from sometimes I do come from a strictly idealistic perspective, and I'm not focusing on, I think I understand your question, on people living and dying and not really knowing. And so all I do is facilitate. I'm an expert in nothing. I mean, I teach certain things, comparative law and stuff. I'm a facilitator. I just try to facilitate dialogue and facilitate groups in the streets, because I think the streets is where it's at. But I do focus on family first, because you can't bridge this love feeling you have and make it into a global thing, and then on real tangible projects, followed up with projects, not just words, without working on your family first and making it right. And it's all about communication. If you can't communicate with your spouse or your friends, your kids or and mother, how do you expect to communicate worldwide? So it is kind of a hybrid. It is. But I work hard at that, facilitating these dialogues, because it's the people together bringing these conclusions together. I'm just facilitating dialogue. They come to their own decisions themselves. And when they realize, I can funnel this love and this energy out globally, even in a small way, then I'm saying, wow, that's cool. That's kind of an enlightenment thing. But it comes after a lot of work, a lot of struggle, a lot of talking, and a lot of working together.
Judge, let me ask you this on this, and I know you're very devout in your faith, and do you think for us to really have a real breakthrough and maybe a real understanding of each other is to maybe take a look at the suggestion of what Venger's saying and combining it with whatever biblical or religious literature that, you know, we subscribe to, whether it be the Quran, whether it be the Bible, whether it be the Torah? You know, do you think it's important? Do you think that would be more successful versus so many people really relying, you know? I hope it all happens. I hope what everybody's wishing for really happens. And I don't personally deny the fact that there's something maybe greater than is out there. I don't know really exactly what it's for. For example, I don't look for it as my wish list. And I know a lot of people look for it as a wish list. Do you think that it could, do you think that having a belief system like Venger's, integrating it with your existing faith, is what really might need to happen to create some sort of harmony in this planet?
I think we need both. Excuse me. First, I'd like to commend Dr. Romano, which I did before, for what he's doing. Having been raised in Jerusalem with the Arabs, it was Palestine at the time, everybody got along fine. People are people. And very interestingly, this morning I got a revelation, which really I never had before. I always know and say, you know, we all are part of one another because we have that same spark of God within us. What came to me today, what happens, the reason we don't get along like we should, it's our understandings, damage, and faults that stop that light within to come to the outside, and therefore to reach out to other people. So to answer your question more specifically, yes, we should combine both. The Bible teaches to treat others as we would have them treat us. It teaches us to love our family, but it also teaches us to love the world. In addition, every single person is here for a mission and a purpose. Dr. Romano's purpose is to reach the way he's reaching. I know the Arabs. I know how they think. In fact, today I read the Palestinians, not all of them, I didn't read the article, just the headline, are now applying for Israeli citizenship. And that really touches my heart because that's the way it used to be. So whatever Dr. Romano can do, and it's interesting that his family has been sacrificed. It happens to many ministers. You know, they minister to the congregation, but they don't minister at home, and they have broken homes many times. So everybody has to do whatever they feel in their heart. And with Venger saying he ministers to his immediate surrounding, that's wonderful. It's a beginning. But one person can change the whole world. And one quick other point I'd like to make, whatever you do, you've got to prepare it with prayer. Because people will not listen if you don't communicate in their language. Prayer is like plowing the ground so they can be open to hear what you say.
You know what I think, and again, I want to just say this to you because you hear a lot of this, and you know, and I'm far from being any type of religious scholar, but just on the surface, you see that everybody's waiting for something. Everybody's waiting for something. They're waiting for some sort of savior, and they wait, and they, you know, at the end of the day...
And they wait some more.
They wait some more, and at the end of the day... No, serious, and, you know, and it's kind of sad to see, because I see a lot of that, and I see a lot of these really just amazing, loving people that truly want to have something out of their lives, want to give back for humanity, but they're waiting for somebody to just come down, come out, whatever, and really wave a magic wand or be their genie and make it happen. And it seems kind of, it seems kind of unhealthy, you know, because I see, like, I was watching TV the other day, and just, you know, because I watch this stuff because it's the show we do, you know what I mean? So it's like, well, you know, it's just interesting to see how other people talk about it. But I was watching this evangelist minister, and he's like, okay, everybody, take some notes. And it's like everybody's taking some notes, so it seems like it's more concentrated on an outer faith, if you would, than really an inner faith, if that makes sense to you. You know, it's like, write down this. If you say it in this way, it's like, okay, and these are like, these are students writing down, like you're in a class.
Diligently.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. I said, this doesn't seem to...
And then that sounds like the doctrine that exists.
You know? So, I don't know. I mean, I really kind of like, you know, vibe with the sense of Avengers of, you know, like, yeah, you know, there may be maybe or maybe not at a, you know, but yeah, take care of yourself, man. Mm-hmm. Don't be sitting on your ass waiting for somebody to just come down and be like, where's our remember angel sound, Jesse? Like something like that. Yes, don't wait for that right away. It'll come hopefully for you, but
live your life in the meanwhile.
Yeah, live your life in the present, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I agree, and this is Frank again. And just a real quick comment. I agree totally with that. But I think this Messiah thing, waiting, is not going to happen. I think it's up to us. I think the new durable peace and understanding is going to come through us. It's going to be a group effort. It's going to be everyone take initiative and not taking notes dictated by someone else.
Hey, listen, Frank, I want to ask you this real quick. Do you believe in the notions of a rebirth of souls like Moses and Jesus?
I've never focused on that. I just don't get into that. I think that's another... That's linked to the idea of waiting around for one of these great prophets or sons of God, if you're a Christian, to come down and dictate to us. I don't really get into that. No, I don't.
Okay, listen, Dr. Frank Romano, everybody, love and terror in the Middle East. Can you tell us how we can get a hold of you and where your website is?
Yeah, website's real easy. Frank Romano, R-O-M as in Mary, A-N as in Nancy O, dash L-T, small L, small T, dot com. Everything's there. And I want to tell you, I think you have an incredible show. Keep it going. I really believe that a lot of people are focusing on what you're trying to do here, and it's all about spiritually raw, bringing together under a cosmic energy. And thank you.
Thank you
very much. Nice, well said, and thank you for those kind words. Judge Eve Ellingwood, author of Diary of Sabra. Thank you, and you can find her book on Spiritually Raw Foundation too. And also, Venger Satanist, thanks for being on the airwaves with us. Can you let everybody know where they can find out about you?
Sure. The website is cultofcthulhu.net. And you can join our forum, our social network, see the videos, read the essays and the blogs, and participate in all different kinds of discussion and stuff like that.
Right on, everybody. And again, listen, don't forget, everybody, this Thanksgiving, so important. We need you to step up here. If you'll go to the foundation, make your donation so we can get those people fed here. And, you know, it's going to be good stuff. And, you know, one less person that has to go hungry, right? Mm. Have a good day of peace. And it's going to be all because of you. So thank you for that. Listen, everybody, we enjoyed it on this end. We sure hope you did.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most important, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Obama.